inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core. Good to be with you today on the program. It's our Wednesday edition of the program. Wesley Wildman will be with me in the second segment, For Better or Worse. No, I'm kidding. Definitely For Better. Wesley, my brother, will be in with us in the second. And, you know, Bobby, I can do that, he's my brother.
And he's not here.
And he's not here to defend himself. So we'll see if he was listening. We'll see what he says when he comes in the studio.
Indeed.
Hey, we'll have Mark Wheat on with us, J. Mark Wheat. He'll be on with us. He's General Counsel for Advancing American Freedom. He'll be on in the last segment talking about this abortion pill and the litigation that's involved there. It's made its way up to the Supreme Court, and it's still pending before the Supreme Court. I know they made a temporary ruling just a week or two ago, but it's still pending. There's no final ruling there. So we'll talk with Mark Wheat, General Counsel over at Advancing American Freedom, about that subject. We are in Psalm chapter 70. Psalm chapter 70 this week. David says in verses 4 and 5, "May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You're my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." That's our scripture for the week out of Psalm chapter 70. We've got our Marriage Family Life conference coming up in July, July 6th through the 8th will be our annual Marriage Family Life conference. Registration closes in just over a week. May 12th is when our registration will close on that. But we want to see you in July in Tupelo, Mississippi at our annual conference, Marriage Family Life conference. Have some great speakers, Dr. George Barna, Jenna Ellis, I'll be there. Will and Mickey Addison will be there. Abe Hamilton will be there, amongst many, many others will be at that conference. We're actually lining up Dr. Jessica Peck from Dr. Nurse Mama. She'll be there as well. So come visit with us and benefit through biblical worldview training here in the city of our headquarters. Also, it's a family event, so we want you to bring the whole family. You can go over to afa.net/events to register, afa.net/events. And then lastly, we'll be in Kentucky at the Ark Encounter in October. October of this year, we'll be at the Ark Encounter, and we'll want to see you there as well if you live in that region, in that area, or if you just want to come over for a couple of days. We'll be at the Ark Encounter, AFA at the Ark. You can go to afa.net/events for all of these events. Well, first segment, I want to cover a few topics here. The first topic is this: these bank bailouts, these bank failures. The first one to fall, and this is not frequent stuff. I mean, these are big banks. These are not community banks. These are big banks. They're regional banks, but they're still very large, billions in assets. So the first bank to fail was Silicon Valley Bank, SVB. The reasons for that failure are still unclear. Some call it mismanagement. Well, I think that's applicable no matter the full scenario. But then you get into risky lending, which I guess you could call that mismanagement too. You get this risky lending, lending to some of these startups that really aren't, they're not really proven companies and proven concepts. They're just purely that, startups. They're ideas that really haven't come to fruition. And then you got all the woke stuff, the Green New Deal stuff, the ESG, Marxist stuff. So you got kind of all those different factors here. There's probably a lot that goes into this. That was the first bank, Silicon Valley Bank. Then you had Signature Bank. I mean, this is just within like a week. Then you had Signature Bank. They went upside down. I think they're based out of New York. And then just this week, we've got First Republic Bank. And you would think that this stuff happens all the time. I mean, you do a little searching on this, you know, check out the headlines. I mean, it's getting covered. I mean, I'm not going to say this is not getting covered. It's getting covered by some of the mainstream media outlets. But it's definitely not getting the attention that it deserves. I mean, this is a big deal. This is hundreds of billions of dollars at stake, and these banks are going upside down in 24 hours. But the problem is, one of the main problems, is that the FDIC and the other federal bureaucratic agencies, they're stepping in and they're bailing these banks out. Listen to this. Now, this goes back a month ago. This goes back to mid-March, so a month and a half ago. This was after Silicon Valley Bank went upside down. After Silicon Valley Bank went upside down, and by the way, a lot of this is happening because of the Fed. Like it or not, the Fed is raising interest rates, and it's making these banks, making their books basically get tight. But you look at, okay, so this goes back to mid-March. So this is after Silicon Valley Bank had failed. First Republic Bank got $30 billion in fresh deposits from other banks. Now, there's strings attached there. Other banks just don't give other banks money with no strings attached. You know, there's probably some kind of repayment plan or some promise from the FDIC or the feds or the Treasury, you know, to refill those other bank accounts. But my point here is that whatever's going on is clearly not under control. Although the government and the Biden administration wants to give this idea and this presentation that everything's under control, no problem here. I mean, this is completely normal stuff. The First Republic got $30 billion in fresh cash 6 weeks ago. And this week, they're done for. There is no more First Republic Bank as you knew it. J.P. Morgan bought them up. J.P. Morgan bought First Republic Bank, a deal brokered by the FDIC. You talk about meddling. You talk about meddling in private business deals. You got the FDIC brokering deals to buy up other banks. I mean, this is like government meddling 101. So that's what's going on now. But I guess the frustration is that from just the consumer standpoint, is this too big to fail mentality. The too big to fail mentality. Where was the FDIC, or where was the Treasury, you know, where was the Federal Reserve when mom and pop businesses were being shuttered during COVID? Where were these folks? Where were these banks? Where was, you know, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Citi, Wells Fargo? Where were they when mom and pop small businesses were forced to shut down for good due to the crippling, unscientific, and immoral COVID policies? Where were they? They were nowhere to be found. Absolutely nowhere to be found. So there's this overemphasis of bailing out the big guys, and then the little folks, they just kind of get left to the side. Who needs them, right? That's kind of the mentality. And that's what's... there's a lot of things good about America's way of economic way and, you know, the way our economy is set up. There's a lot of good going on there. But this basically collusion between the federal government and these major corporations and banks is really, really disappointing. And really, this actually, I would argue, emboldens these banks to do more risky behavior. Because if the FDIC or another bank's going to come in and save the day, why would you get your house in order? I mean, why would you be responsible and manage your bank, you know, with a good fiduciary duty? Why would you do that if you can be, you know, First Republic or Signature or Silicon Valley? You can just do whatever on earth you want, and then the FDIC or somebody's going to come in and save the day after you've broken everything. I mean, this is like, this is the definition of incentivizing bad behavior. Well, I do want to move on to a similar topic. Speaking of Washington, D.C. and the bureaucrats and Congress, I came across this interview with Senator Dick Durbin. And, you know, there's this debt ceiling debate going on. And by the way, the House Republicans have already passed a bill to raise the debt ceiling. And they're basically ready to roll, ready to move on to the next subject. And it's the Biden administration and the Democrats that are dragging this thing out. All right. They are dragging this thing out. And Senator Schumer's going, oh, in June, you know, we're going to default on our debt. We're going to, you know, the economy is going to be destroyed because in June, we, you know, we're going to surpass the debt ceiling, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, they're not talking about the fact that Kevin McCarthy and the House Republicans have already passed the debt limit increase, and they're ready to send it to the Senate and get this thing to Biden's desk and sign it and move on. They're ready to raise the debt ceiling. It's Biden that doesn't want to do anything. He said, I'm not going to negotiate at all. But I've called Washington, D.C. One of the biggest clown shows in American history. And that's really what it is. It's a big circus, one of the biggest circuses in American history. And to prove my point, Senator Dick Durbin admitted that in 2017, when he said we should not debate on raising the debt ceiling with Trump and the Republicans, he admitted on CNN this week that it was all just posturing and speeches, and it really didn't mean anything. Clip four.
In 2017, we found this in Politico this morning. When President Trump was in office, there was a discussion about whether Democrats should try to get something from a vote to raise the debt ceiling. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said, quote, everything's negotiable. Why would we make it easier for them to pass unpaid-for tax cuts by giving away a vote on raising the debt ceiling? Then Politico says Senate Minority Whip at the time, Dick Durbin, agreed, adding, put me in that camp of Democrats looking for leverage. So why was it okay to talk then but not now?
It's okay to talk about leverage, but when you're talking about the Speaker and the President and the Majority Leader, you're really getting down to serious business. We make speeches, we posture, we do these things, but we know in our heart of hearts what has to be done, what the responsible thing is.
Okay, so this is recent, by the way. This clip is very recent. This is this week on CNN. So Dick Durbin, back in 2016, Democrat, by the way, Democrat senator, he told the Trump administration and House and Senate Republicans that, of course, we've got to have some kind of leverage on this whole debt ceiling thing. I mean, we would be politically dumb to not bargain something out of this whole debt ceiling increase. And then now McCarthy and the Republicans are trying to wheel and deal and get something of value out of this debt ceiling increase, which has to happen, by the way. And Durbin saying, no, we can't do that. You know, you're blackmailing. We got to be able to move on. We can't hold our debt hostage, blah, 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 blah. Well, when pushed back on this utter hypocrisy within the last 5 years, Durbin says, oh, you know, we just give speeches and we do this posturing. But when you're the House Speaker, I mean, that's serious business. Okay. So the opposite of that is you guys are unserious. If you're not the House Speaker and you're not the Majority Leader, then you're unserious. That's what he just admitted there. I can kind of say what I say and do what I do, and I don't really have to mean any of it unless I'm like in charge, like in a position of authority, and then I've got to be serious, like an adult. Folks, this is astonishing. This is why you really don't need to get your blood pressure up on this Washington, D.C. garbage. Because 75% of it is a show. There is 25% of it that's serious, consequential. You do have some serious people up there trying to do some really good things, trying to fight for our country. But the other 75%, the Durbin camp, they are unserious. All they do is give speeches and they posture. All right. So remember that the next time your blood pressure goes up because you're mad about what's happening in Washington. Just calm down and let the circus go on. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Here's Ellis Kraft of Reach a Village Ministries. The fabric of any society is the family. We have seen in Scripture how whole households believed in the Lord when the gospel was preached to them. I love that at Reach a Village, we focus on bringing the gospel to the unreached. We are starting house churches where families are discipled together. These children will be raised up in households of faith. I encourage you to get involved today. During this radio campaign, any gift will be doubled up to $30,000. That means $5 will reach 10 children, $50 will reach 100 children. To give, I want you to go to reachavillage.org/AFR or call 833-773-2247. Again, that's 833-7-REACH-7. Again, that's 833-7-REACH-7.
This is Raising God the Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
Take a breath and soak in a moment of silence. How often are you and your girl able to string together many of these moments with the intent to commune with the Lord? In our hyper-connected world, silence is a rare occasion, and silence with the Lord is even more scarce. Psalm 46:10 gently commands us to be still. While this sounds excruciating for the girl whose hands are accustomed to busy, 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 the practice is life-giving. If she is young, she might need help carving out the practice of God time, so walk her through it. This might give opportunity for your own lacking be still time. Whether the silent time is spent reading the Bible or praying, your girl will be nourished in the process.
Want to learn more? Read about empowering girls through the love of God at raisinggodlygirls.com.
Hey friends, it's Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, as your one-minute parenting coach. Are you in some brutal days of teen parenting? Do you long for the good old days when you were their world, the sun, moon, and stars, when they still gave you hugs, when they fought bedtime, but at least they were home safe and sound? Here's the truth. We can't love a younger version of who our child used to be more than who they are becoming. When teens are least lovable, they need love the most. Our teens should never feel like we see this stage of parenting as disappointing and undesirable. Our teens should never feel guilty for growing up. We can enjoy the past and use it to celebrate the present with faith in the future. I'll see you on the Dr. Nurse Mama podcast here on American Family Radio.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
When I'm walking through the valley, your presence is around me. Nothing stands between me and my God. And the fear that was my prison is no longer where I'm living. 'Cause nothing stands between me and my God. There's no place I go that He is not. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We'll be dancing through the darkness, 'cause we believe it. Every stronghold has to break at the name of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When the ground below is shaking, my joy cannot be taken.
Welcome back to the Core here on American Family Radio. It's Worship Wednesday, And to go along well with that worship song there, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So it's Worship Wednesday. Glad to have you with us. Hey, Wesley Wildman is in with us.
I was quick.
And let me ask this,
we
Wesley.
We don't play, brother.
Wow. We don't play. Get straight to business.
Look, if I'm going to call you out on something, now's the time. Sometimes it takes a while for you to get to me. Let's not act like this is
it does.
This is normal.
You know, and okay? I called you out before you came on.
Take up 3 minutes of my time.
In the first segment.
Oh, sorry. We're on live radio.
We're live, Wesley.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, I'm complaining.
He wanted to take the fight early.
Yeah, let's play nice. Right. But no, to your point, thank you for the compliment. I do try to get to you quickly, and I don't just give,
right, it was a compliment.
I don't just give speeches and posture, you know, like Senator Dick Durbin.
Hey,
Wesley, we've got this. I mentioned in the first segment, we've got our American Life Conference. You and I will be at AFA of the Ark in October.
Wonderful, yep.
And then also this summer, we're going to be working on this Men of Honor program, and we are hosting Men of Honor in Tupelo, but we're also making the curriculum available to anyone and everyone who wants to do it in their local community.
Yeah, so, you know, if you go back to the founding of AFA and AFR, it was because my papa was concerned about the content and the things that were going on in our culture that directly affected the family. And then from there, you know, we got different divisions and different ministries, different departments of AFA, and but if you see, we have seen as a result of my papa's concern that he was right in a lot of ways. In a lot of areas, entertainment, government, with no fault divorce, there's a lot of things that have attacked the family. And so therefore, we are left here in 2023 and have been the last several years that we've worked on this project with a lot of broken families.
Mm.
We've got a lot of broken families. And so we're doing a lot of things at AFA to try to help the broken family and the healthy family to stay healthy. So our focus on the family. We got marriage, family, life, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Another portion, another big concern of AFA and AFRs, and mine in particularly as well, is those young men who lack discipleship, biblical discipleship, and they lack it in different ways. The majority of them don't have a father figure. And then others do, but they're not. There's no Christian discipleship in that. In fact, they have maybe an intact family, but it's an unhealthy family.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, AFA has produced. Let me back up before I talk about what we produce. Mm. As a result of that, over time we have been thinking about this, and we want to be both giving you content on the radio. But we also want to be an example to you of what you are capable of doing, and we want to lead by example, which, to use another example, is the Marriage Family Life Conference. We do that. Well, we also do what we're talking about today, which is the Men of Honor program. And if for those that are within about a – you can come as far as you want, but most people that are listening within about a 30- or 45-minute drive, we want to make you aware that AFA – is for the fourth annual summer, annually every summer for the fourth summer straight, we are offering a Men of Honor program for ages 7 to 17, young men ages 7 to 17, on campus right here at our headquarters at the Don Wildman Center for Cultural Transformation. We are offering Men of Honor program ages 7 to 17. And before I get into what that looks like, I want to tell you that you can go to afa.net/events. And you can find out more details, and I'll tell you when it is in just a second, but you can find out all the details. So if I move past some details real quick, you can go to afa.net/events, and it'll be up on our show notes page on the core.
That's right.
At the core.
Yep.
So to tell you a little bit about it, so it's every Tuesday during the month of June and July. That's 8 meetings. We meet every Tuesday, eight times throughout the summer during June and July. And what it would look like when they get there, we will have food and games set up. And the food is like pizza or chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A or whatnot. And so it's be able to move around. We're outside at a picnic. Imagine a picnic and having cornhole and playing frisbee and throwing football. We do that for 15, 20 minutes in fellowship. Then we move inside at our headquarters here. and we have a Bible teacher. Mm-hmm. And I'll emcee it. I'll keep everything going. And one of the things I encourage the students to do is to take good notes, and we'll provide them notepads. And so we encourage them to take notes from the Bible teacher. And at the end of the year, nobody's punished for not taking notes, but there's rewards for those that did take notes.
Yeah.
And then we'll transition from Bible time to a short, small groups of discussion of what we learned from the scripture. Mm-hmm. And almost every one of them is a topic. So sure. We're either going to talk about forgiveness and grace, or we're going to talk about the dangers of social media from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
We could even discuss things like, or we'll discuss things like biblical manhood. These are just some of the topics that we'll cover throughout the summer. And then we move from Bible time, small group time, and then we finish up the afternoon where we have a skill time, and we always have someone that's come that's in that has a particular skill set, whether that's plumbing, whether that's mechanics, whether that is carpentry. We have these people. Most of them are volunteers from the staff of AFA.
Yeah,
and they'll come in and they'll share a skill time, and obviously in most cases they provide a devotion that goes along with something that we're learning, mm-hmm. and which adds to the deeper impact of what we're trying to accomplish with Men of Honor. And that's what we're going to be doing this summer. We've done it for four summers in a row, coming up on our fifth one, and we are looking forward to it. So if you're within a 30 to 45 minute drive and you're interested in signing up a young man, maybe it's your son, maybe it's your grandson, maybe it's your nephew, or your cousin or whatever, you want to sign them up, we would love to host you. And the best part about that, guys, is completely free.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay anything.
You know, Wesley, and when you talk about the value here, we're doing so many things that, and this isn't necessarily unique. There are other ministries that are doing very similar work, very critical work. But with this Men of Honor program, we're doing several things you just mentioned there that a lot of young men aren't getting. So the first thing is a lot of young men are not getting the physical exercise that they need.
Yep.
And that's what we do when we first get here is let them throw football, frisbee, shoot a little basketball.
We're outside. No technology.
No.
I like technology.
No screen
There's
time.
Good use for it.
Yeah.
But not here at Men of Honor.
That's right. So get a little physical exercise. God created us to be outside.
Yeah.
He created the creation as far our enjoyment and pleasure. But then, of course, we're getting Bible teaching in there as well.
That's right.
But the skill time.
Wonderful.
The skill time is critical because, once again, this is another thing that a lot of young men aren't getting is how to change a tire. You know, how to change a light bulb. I mean, what do you do?
Use a hammer.
Yeah, what do you do, you know, when you're having plumbing issues? I mean, there's all kind of different. We build birdhouses.
Yep.
I've still got those up in my backyard now. But there's a lot of things that we do that are hands-on that down the road could really help these young men in various areas.
Oh, it sure can, and it provides them confidence and just daily tasks. And, you know, as they grow up and become men, the more they're able to learn and do. You know, there's one thing that's often forgotten about as our Christian development, and that's using our minds and our skill set, not just being
critical thinking.
Yeah, not just be able to be theologically, you know, sponge and be able to learn in our brains, but being able to carry out those things and being able to plant a seed, you know, and there's right and wrong ways to do that. There's good ways, there's better ways. And so we even planted plants this past year. We were able to ask the young men to take those home to their grandmothers or their mom or whoever their guardian is. So it's a wonderful thing. We're going to be mentioning this, you know, depending on our time over the next couple of weeks. We either mention it briefly or spend more time on it. But the reason we're going to be letting you know about it is because over the next couple of weeks is because we want you to sign up at afa.net/events. But for the 98% of those that are listening now that will not be able to come.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't just tune out because we have taken what I just described and we have put it in a curriculum in which you were able to use at your convenience, at your time, at your location, whenever you want. In fact, I've got friends that have taken it and split it in half and just took 4 weeks of it and they did it over the Christmas break at their church. And then there was one particular gentleman I talked to where they met over the Christmas break, but they met on Tuesdays and Thursdays and got all eight in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can take this curriculum, you can use it however it best fits you. But I can assure you, and the best part about the curriculum, that you can download 100% for free. And Walker will tell you how to get that in a second.
Yeah.
100% for free. The best part about it, it is as detailed or as simple as you want it to be. I mean, I've even got, I took several months putting this together with the help of the staff here at AFA, the editors and stuff, and the editors and the graphic design team. And what we have done is even given you so far to be able to copy and paste the expectations for each speaker. And what you can tell them, if you invite somebody to come speak, you can say, this is what I expect, this is what I really need you to be able to do. 20 to 30 minutes, have visuals, and so on and so on. And it goes on to explain that into great details. So it has as much or as little information as you want. All you have to do is go to it's the AFA Resource Center.
Yeah, it's on the Resource Center. Just type in Men of Honor. But we're also going to link directly to it on the podcast page at AFR.net so folks can get there and download it. It's free as well. But to your point, Wesley, it walks people through it. So if you want to do this in your local church, in your local community, we just ideally, and this is pretty self-explanatory, pretty clear, but the best area for this is in the local church.
100%.
I mean, local churches are going to have facilities, they're going to have a gym, they're going to have everything, most of this stuff, you know, readily available and put it to good use. So, but everything's very self-explanatory. Each week is outlined, and each hour or each, you know, segment within that week's program is all outlined detail by detail. There's really no reason not to do this. I mean, it's right there, easy to do.
Yes, and let me just add on to that, and then I want to read a passage of scripture before our time ends here. And just to add on to that, this was put together, this whole curriculum, this whole idea was put together from me, who at the time, and I've still got most of these responsibilities, although some have rotated off, a deacon, a baseball coach, full-time job, a husband of three children, the list goes. Daughters doing activities. I've got plenty.
You're a brother too.
That's right. That's right. Although the older we have gotten, the least responsibility, because I am not your brother's keeper.
No.
But the point is that I have a lot going on, and I'm still able to do this because let me back up and start from the very beginning. Remember, this is only 8 meetings. Okay,
yeah.
While it's all summer, June and July, it's meeting 8 times. Mm-hmm. It's 8 meetings. It's thoroughly impactful. Now, obviously, if you're a 22-year-old young man who doesn't have a job, not married, you can extend this and make this year around. There's other things you can make it more, but I've put this together to in my opinion, that if you have any tendency to be concerned about young men in your area that don't have godly discipleship, and you're seeing it over and over again, and you're realizing that is a major factor in your local community, that's what this is for.
Yeah.
That's what this is for, because I understand everybody has a little bit unique ministry. Some people are more, have a more heart toward the poor and more whatever.
Yeah.
But if you have a heart toward young men in your area, this ministry and this curriculum is for you.
Yeah.
Is, like I said, you can make it as simple or as complex as you want. 8 meetings, June and July, Tuesday, every Tuesday. When we meet, you can make it Thursday for yourself. But the package right there, and the Bible verse we use throughout the entire summer, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, whatever you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that's what we do all summer here at the headquarters, AFA, for the local boys that are able to be here. Go check out Men of Honor at afa.net/events. And if you want the curriculum, because you live too far and aren't able to drive, go to afa.net or go to afr.net. Go to our page and get the link right there.
All right, Wesley, appreciate it.
Hey, glad to be on. Enjoyed it.
The program, Men of Honor, is aimed at young boys without fathers in their life. But if you and your son want to come on out. I mean, we've had fathers and sons. I mean, my son will be there. Wesley's son will be there. Yep. So fathers and sons, come on out, and you can help pour into the lives of other young men. Men of Honor, we'll post a link to it on the podcast page. We'll be back in a few.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18th to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core. Glad to have you with us on the last segment. We are live streaming the video as we do each day over at streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. We got the video up there. We also live stream the video on Facebook, At the Core on Facebook. We live stream there. And we are working on building the AFA streaming app for Apple, Android, Roku, etc. So that is a project underway. And I know many of you are looking forward to that for that accessibility and ease of use there. So we're working on that. That is on our radar. And but right now you can go over to streaming.afa.net in your browser and take advantage of that platform, fully managed and controlled by our own staff here. So no canceling, no deplatforming. That is our platform there, streaming.afa.net. I want to introduce our next guest. We have on with us Mark Wheat. He's general counsel over at Advancing American Freedom. And Mark's on with us now. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Mark, tell our audience before we jump into this topic of this abortion pill and the litigation at the Supreme Court and around the country, tell our audience a little bit about you guys' work there.
Well, Advancing American Freedom was founded by Mike Pence, 48th vice president. We are very engaged on pro-life issues, First Amendment freedom of speech, freedom of worship. We've been fully engaged on retracting the size and scope of the federal government, particularly the bureaucracy. And this case that relates to mifepristone, which is an abortion drug that was brought in from Europe in 2020, hits all of those issues. And what we find particularly important about this abortion drug case is it started in the Northern District of Texas, quickly went up to the Fifth Circuit. There was an emergency call by the Biden administration to have whether it would stay on the market while this goes through the courts, go up to the Supreme Court. It's now going back to the Fifth Circuit, and the American Family Association is joining with us on an amicus brief to ask the courts to suspend this drug because we believe it was approved illegally 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, that's a very important point, Mark, about the litigation and the consequence here. Let me ask you this, just from a layman's perspective, and that's most of my perspective is that of a layman, but that's okay. Our nation was built by laymen. Just looking around at the laws, I mean, clearly abortion is outlawed in the vast majority of cases in nearly a dozen states, if not a few more than that. And this pill is its sole purpose is to kill the baby, is to end the life of the baby.
Right.
Why is this complex, or is it complex from a legal standpoint at the state level?
Well, what the Dodd decision did is it threw abortion back to the states. And the Biden administration is taking the position that this is a drug that was approved by the FDA for killing an unborn child. It should be available in all 50 states. And so you have the state overlay as a problem. You have a problem where the FDA approved this under its own regulations that were really intended for approving drugs that would end a very life-threatening situation. Primarily, it was used for HIV/AIDS. This is, remember, over 20 years ago. Pregnancy is not a life-threatening disease. They approved it under something that they shouldn't have. And here we are 23 years later. This drug continues to harm women and kill babies at an alarming rate.
So, Mark, as we know, the FDA itself has really gutted its credibility over the last few years, doing these rubber stamps on these COVID-19 shots without allowing them to be robustly vetted as previous vaccines and shots have been and other medications. But on this note, I'm just trying to connect the dots here. In worst case scenario, should the Supreme Court permanently uphold the use of this pill, this abortion pill, in all 50 states, even though I would question their authority to do so that broadly. But nonetheless, if they basically rule in the favor of the FDA and the Biden administration, could that also, should the FDA approve some of these transgender sex hormone type drugs and treatments, could this also, you know, have an effect there and make it to where basically the FDA becomes this, you know, super legislative body?
Well, and that's one of the things that we are fighting, because we don't think just because the FDA approves a pharmaceutical or some other medical technology, that if some states wish to have that illegal, it should be illegal in those states. We don't think that the FDA does have the ability to override state functions. The states have always had primary control over healthcare, and we see the Biden administration really using abortion as an all-government opposition, where they are trying to control the entire political sphere and using abortion as the sharp end of that spear to move forward. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, this is a bigger issue than just an abortion pill.
Mark, when do you expect the Supreme Court to publish their final ruling on this?
Well, we don't know. We had there was an emergency ruling that went up to the Supreme Court, and they turned it around in just a matter of days, saying no, that they would allow this abortion drug, mifepristone, to be on the market until after all of the courts have ruled. It now goes back to the Fifth Circuit. I know that this amicus brief that I'm filing on behalf of Advancing American Freedom and the American Family Association and others, that's due on May 12th. We expect a ruling sometime after that, and then it will go back to the Supreme Court. So this could be a very lengthy process over many months. And it may be that the Biden administration will manipulate it so that it really doesn't come up for a decision until they're fully engaged in a presidential election game.
Imagine that, timing the courts for politics. Hey, Mark, appreciate your work over there at Advancing American Freedom. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. That's Mark Wheat, general counsel over at Advancing American Freedom. Very interesting subject there. And that should bring our listeners up to speed on that litigation. It's a very, very important case we got going on at the Fifth Circuit and at the Supreme Court. Hey, we want to take your calls, see what's on your mind. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'll take your calls on any of the subjects we've discussed today. First segment, we talked about the banks going upside down and the gamesmanship in Washington and the circus there, men of honor, and then we just talked about this abortion pill litigation and the ramifications that it could have and will have in states around the country. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number to call in. Another story I wanted to get to before we take calls is President Biden's interior chief. She was doing a Senate hearing. Her name's Deb Haaland, or Haylen. She was doing a hearing in the U.S. Senate, and Senator Josh Hawley was questioning the Interior Secretary on her knowledge of where these rare earth minerals come from, the majority of them, for these electric vehicle batteries, these lithium batteries, you know, where are we getting all these materials from for the consumer market, which is a big, big question. And because Biden's team has been banning the mining of this these minerals domestically. So we're banning, broadly banning the mining of these lithium materials, the minerals needed for the lithium batteries. Meanwhile, we're buying them all up from China. So there's a big, big play here that's in favor of China. Let's listen to this exchange by Senator Hawley.
On the subject of these sweeping mandates related to electric vehicles that the Biden administration has imposed, including now for our military, the metals needed to make the lithium-ion batteries in those vehicles are, of course, lithium, nickel, graphite, and cobalt. Now, can you tell me what nation is the largest producer of refined lithium in the world?
No, I can't.
It's China. Can you tell me which nation is the largest producer of refined cobalt in the world?
No, Senator.
It's China. Do you know what nation is the largest exporter of natural graphite to the United States globally?
No, Senator.
It's China.
Okay.
So in all of these instances, these mandates, your decision to trade off our energy security in favor of a radical climate change agenda is making us more and more dependent on China. And at the same time, you are denying mining, blocking permits for mines in this country that would allow us to develop nickel and copper and cobalt. Why? Why block the development of these resources in our own nation in favor of making us dependent on China?
Senator, are you referring to the Boundary Waters?
I'm referring to the Twin Metals mine in Minnesota. I think that Senator Barrasso was just asking about it.
Yes, near the Boundary Waters, which is an iconic place and, of course, a very valuable ecological system to many plants, animals, species.
Okay, so there we go. You know, we can't do it ourselves, but we can buy China's dirty lithium batteries. I mean, what kind of logic is that? You know, we can't do it here because it's going to mess up our natural resources. It's going to mess up rather our, you know, our land and our natural beauty. But we'll let China, you know, destroy their country. That sounds like some great logic to me. Let's go to the phones, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Steve's over in Texas. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Walker. Hey, so regarding the banks collapsing and all that stuff, I just can't help but think this is all part of the global plan, right? I mean, I, if I'm not mistaken, J.P. Morgan, wasn't it their CEO, I believe, that was also on board with the one world currency here and pushing that recently. And I think all the stuff ties in with the interest rates, those with good credit being charged more per interest rates, those with bad credit, to basically destabilize the banks in order for them to collapse, in order for the government to come in and say, you know what, we're going to take care of it all. Just come on, get on the government dole. We'll bail you out. Those with bad mortgages, those are in charge of bankruptcy or in danger of bankruptcy, just come and, you know, let the government, we'll take care of it all. Because once the government owns the real estate, owns the banks, it's all just part of the whole world currency that I think is coming. So,
yeah, very, very good points there, Steve. And I'll let you go and listen over the air. I think you're right on their end goal. That's unquestioned. I mean, they are in your face that they hate this, you know, free market. It's your money, cash. You're in control. They hate that. They want the end result to be central bank digital currency, which is in effect, you know, a globalist. It's a globalist dream, because the Fed and the Treasury and others, they'll cozy up and partner with these other nations and create this alliance or whatever. So yeah, that's their end goal. And it wouldn't surprise me if you're right, Steve, that they're basically doing a controlled demolition here, so they can rebuild this in their image and their likeness. Would not put that past them one second. And people say that's cynical. Well, look at what these people do. I mean, the COVID garbage, that they knew that stuff was unscientific. They knew that wasn't going to work, but they pushed it anyway. So. This is a bad cabal, a bad group of people, and I do not put anything past them. Andrew, we got about 30 seconds in North Carolina. Hey, Andrew, what's on your mind?
Hey there, Walker. Thanks for taking my call. I may be repeating what Steve just said, but I don't trust the current regime to not develop our resources for so much time that China eventually owns half of our country, owns our government, and then goes ahead and starts mining those same lands that everybody seems to want to keep beautiful. They're going to turn our country into their country if we're not careful.
That's a good point, Andrew. And it is proven that China is on the march trying to buy up as much domestic farmland in America as they can. And, you know, that's the one huge weakness that China has is agriculture. You know, they can't even feed their own people. They're not self-sustaining from an agricultural standpoint. I don't know. It's well over 50% of their food is imported from other nations, including America. So there's a strategic advantage in buying America's agricultural land so that they can basically own the food that we produce so they can direct ship it over to China and control the supply chain from beginning to end. But also, you know, to your point, are they buying other lands because they know the minerals that are underneath them so that they can use them to mine and produce these batteries? But we know that their intentions are evil and that they view the U.S. as an enemy, and we better turn around quick and view them as an enemy as well. Thanks so much for your call, folks. Very interesting topics at the core. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Just type in At the Core and click the subscribe button. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.